I'm Shark, he's Goon. Today, it's the finale of Picard. You can tell how excited I am, Goon. It's called Et in Arcadia, Ego Part 2, and he really doesn't quite capture the synopsis. Picard and his team are pitted against the Romulans and the synthetics of Coppelius in a final confrontation. Goon, what'd you think of Picard?
All right.
That says it all. And that's it. Shark and Goon will return.
It wasn't the worst episode. I just feel like there was a lot of lazy writing. I love certain parts of it. Otherwise, you know, this whole series could have just got thrown out. It was fun seeing Riker in a command chair. It was good getting the good old Picard speech, you know. But everything else just felt pretty flat. And I guess you'd be happy that they like soccer on the synth world.
They do?
Yeah, don't you remember when he was going to do the drone to blow up the station that kind of looks like the Nest from Hudson Yards, that he came in with a soccer ball to hiding the drone?
And then I know Rios likes soccer.
Yeah, but then the synth goes to him and goes, "Hey, you play?" And he goes like, "Yeah, I do." And like the synth just gave him like a nod and it was cool.
Oh, I totally missed that. Okay, yeah. So that was the best part of Star Trek Picard, and Shark and Goon will return. No?
No. I do like the way they capped off Data, though. It was a cool little scene with Blue Skies going to call back to a previous Next Generation movie when Troy and Riker got married. And it just like they handled his real death great, but I just didn't feel anything for it because he died in a movie a while ago. You know, it was a great way to give a conclusion to a character, but I felt nothing, just like I felt nothing when Picard died, because I told you the last episode, I knew they were going to throw his body into the synth, his mind into the synth body.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to tackle this. So let's skip the first 43 or whatever it was minutes, and let's just go piece by piece for the more interesting parts. I guess we'll start with Riker, right? So Riker shows up. First of all, to the audience, I feel bad for Media Goon because he gets about 7 emails an hour from me, including during the episode and after the episode and at midnight and 4 in the morning, as I just think more and more about what a disaster this episode was. But the first email Goon got from me was, and please understand, audience, my emails start with 96 font saying this email has spoilers, so I don't just blow up the guy's email. But the first thing I wrote to you was, why did they put Frake's name in the credits? I wasn't thinking Riker was in the episode at all, and then you fuckheads go and spoil it.
I really think it has something to do with contracts, with guest stars and everything. You know,
ways around that.
There's total ways around it. But you
Leonard Nimoy's in Star Trek 3. He's not in the opening credits, is he? Maybe he is.
But you see how lazy the writing is. Do you think that they're going to be any lazier or any more less lazy than they already are with the writing? And it's just, they're like, oh, let's just put it out. It's stupid. There's ways to, you know, hide the surprise. I totally agree with you, but I'm just telling you in a production standpoint how some of these production people think.
Are there rules about credits? Can the credits be 50 minutes into the episode?
It all depends what the SAG contract is. I'm like, if you notice, you know, with me, I finally got credit in a show that I haven't been. So for my whole career in the film business, I've gotten 3 credits over the amount of years I've been in. The show that I sent you the picture of is my most recent one. So you don't always have to have credits with something I do. It's, you know, if they feel like putting me in, they put me in. But with guest stars and the head stars and stuff, and even like the production designers, they have to be put in the front, in the opening credits. But there's ways around it. And I think they could have done it, but, you know, laziness.
Yeah. All right. So help me here. My brain is small. So the synths want to open a portal to bring in the super synths to kill all the organics. The Romulans are hip to this plot. So the Romulans want to show up and use sterilization plan number 5, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 6, plan 5, to eliminate all the organics. and Riker is there to stop the Romulans. If Riker succeeds, then all the organics died. What exactly is Riker's plan here, or is he underinformed, or like it just? I don't want Riker to succeed.
You mean the synths? You want they want
yeah
the synths? Yeah. Well, I think they were trying to do the whole Federation versus everybody else, and Federation being the morality. But throughout this whole show, there it's been showing how the Starfleet is broken. It's not the same Starfleet. Now all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, hold up. Let's listen to what Picard has to say, and let's see if he could save the day again." I'm kind of with you where it's like, "Hey, all right, so what's going on? These guys want to wipe us out. Hey, look, there's tentacles coming out of a rift in space. Are we with the Romulans or with the Synths? Hey, Picard, what are you doing down there?" It's silly. Where I know where you're going. And I'm trying to play the devil's advocate for the writers, which it's killing me. But it's like, hey, you know, we're here. We're gonna give Picard a chance, and if he doesn't, you know, then we're gonna join forces with the Romulans. But that's after we threaten the Romulans.
I'm trying to figure out the logic as well. So let's say, Riker runs into Picard. No, Picard's up to something. So he starts following his, I'll just call it Twitter feed, so that when Picard sends out the SOS to Starfleet, Riker's been monitoring Picard's channel, his Twitter feed, his Facebook page. However Riker finds out Picard sends out the SOS, I'm okay with that, right? So that somehow works.
Didn't he? I'm just going to stop you for. Didn't he send that out as an open channel frequency out to everybody? So with Riker being on active reserve, I think he would have gotten that SOS, just like everybody else in the Federation of Planets that were on reserve would have too.
Yeah, okay, I'm fine with it. His iPhone buzzed and went, "Bzz, urgent from Picard, need help." Okay, so then Riker, who's on planet Alaska, calls up Starfleet and is like, "Hey, can I get in on this?" And then they say, "Not only can you be in on it, why don't you run the task force? Not whoever our best captain who's around right now." Now, maybe it's typical Starfleet where nobody's around and they used to have to draft Admiral Kirk. So maybe Riker is the best guy around. We've seen Starfleet do that before. Okay, fine. But there's 200 ships and Riker's going to come out of retirement and be like, "Yeah, I got this."
The only thing I can see is that the connection with Picard with him, that, you know, if Picard decided to go wonky, at least Riker might be able to talk him down.
Okay.
I can only see that. The only thing that you notice, all the ships look the same? Like they weren't different classes?
Everybody noticed that. It's like just control paste. Now, I thought they were going to do some sort of, you know, Picard maneuver extreme, that there was only Riker's ship and he learned from the Picard maneuver and he cloned a ship 200 times, psych Romulans. That would have been good writing, right? But no, there's actually just 200 ships of the same class.
Which I didn't know that they had 200 ships of the same class. And then supposedly the ship that Riker is piloting is now the flagship of Starfleet. So there's no more Enterprises?
So let me break that apart. Starting with the Enterprises, from what I'm reading, the Enterprise D was the flagship, but it was never stated that the Enterprise E was the flagship. So the E could be off somewhere, you know, on a deep space mission, like we've, you know, explained away before. I can understand why they stayed away from the Enterprise. And the other, you know, these are the Reddits and the people just trying to make sense of a script that makes no sense. The logic is, after the Dominion War and all the Borg stuff, Starfleet realized, "Wow, we better bulk up here because shit happens." So, all right, I can buy into that. It has been 20 years. You could probably build a lot of ships in 20 years if you tried. See World War II.
Yeah, and just using replicators.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Can you replicate a whole ship? Do you replicate parts? I don't know.
It's the new 4D printing instead of 3D printing.
All right. So Riker's there. He stops the Romulans. Picard gives a speech. Everything's good. Riker's like, "All right, I guess you're good. I'm out of here." He leaves. And then, major spoilers, and I don't know why you're 10 minutes into this podcast if you don't want spoilers, Picard dies, good.
Did he really?
Yes, and we'll talk about that. He really died, and as I'm watching it, I felt nothing. Can I tell you, last night I was playing the Star Wars video game, whatever it's called, Fallen Order, whatever that thing's called, and there's a scene in it that I felt more emotion in a video game scene about a droid separating from his owner than I did when Jean-Luc Picard died.
Well, I bet you they have better writers, and they made you feel that you actually cared about the characters. In this show, I didn't care about any of the characters, except for maybe Troy and Riker.
Yeah. So, you know, he just dies and it leaves me empty. And then we get the good part of the episode. He wakes up in a dream, but it's not. For a second there, I thought they were just going to go like, wow, that dream was weird, and just retcon away the whole season, which is what I'm going to do in my fan edit. That would have made me actually happy if they just made that all go away. But nope, we're here in the Matrix and Data is in some sort of purgatory that he just wants out of. Nice scene there.
Yeah, that I think those were the best parts of the show. The whole show, not just the episode, the whole show was with the Picard relationship with Data. Data just wanting his life to end because he just feels like he's going on and on and on. He has no idea what time it is, where he is, what the, you know, what's going on. And you can just tell from his uniform that he's still stuck where he was when he gave himself to save the Federation and Picard. I love that scene, and I also love the scene when Data finally does pass, you know, with, you know, the simulation and dark, the blue sky song and everything. It that just worked. The rest of the whole series, I think, was leading up to that point, and it just didn't do a good job.
So I love that you're saying that the good parts of Picard were when it was about Picard, Riker, Troy, and Data.
Who would have thought?
Now, I get you're not going to make the Next Generation Part 2, and you're not going to put the gang back together. And I don't want to make it sound like everyone's terrible. Like, if you told me, you know, they did a show on the Enterprise and Rios was the new first officer replacing Commander Madsen, who we saw in the Nemesis extra scenes, who replaced Riker. So Madsen goes off to command his own ship, and we have this new guy, Rios. Like, the guy's a great actor. Like, I'd be into that. I'm not saying they're all, like, bad. It's the writing that's bad.
Oh, it was horrible. I mean, there could have been ways to, you know, even have that, have Rios and have Rafi, and, you know, just, you could have just got away with those two and Picard, you know.
Absolutely.
I guess Soji was the MacGuffin. You know, that's really weird having to call a character a MacGuffin. But you
that's
know,
what she is.
It's just, you know, it could have just had those three, and they could have been trying to figure out what really happened with the whole, you know, the Mars 9/11, not with the synths, but they were trying to unravel the story of why it happened. And then it could have just gotten a little bigger, and you didn't need the whole synth at the end just wanting to destroy the organics. It could have just been, hey, by the way, these Romulans have infiltrated Starfleet. This is why it happened, because they wanted to get back at what happened to Romulus.
Oh, I want to do a whole 10 minutes on that part. Let me keep going chronologically. So Data wants to die. We get the nice scene. Picard leaves. But Picard is dead. And then we find out Picard wakes up in the android golem clone body. So two things there. First, why didn't you guys just put Data in that body?
I think they just wanted to keep using Data's neurons. So they were just basically using him as an experiment to keep growing more synths, where if they would have just put him in that body, they wouldn't have been able to do it.
And now Picard is just magically back. We take the golem body and we tech the tech, and the new body looks like 94-year-old Jean-Luc Picard, wrinkles and all, liver spots and all. But don't worry, we put in some stuff so you'll actually still die in 30 years and your hip will still hurt or whatever, but you don't have the brain syndrome, which they never actually mentioned the syndrome in the Picard series, which makes me think this is part of that whole legally distinct 25% different JJ Trek universe, since they never, I mean, it would not have been hard to just give the syndrome a name, even though you and I can't remember it, Arimotic syndrome, whatever it is. They never said it. So he's back. And, you know, my question to you over email is, can I just get one of those? And can I do it now while I'm 50 and not 94?
Well, remember at the part where they go to Sung, hey, we're sorry that, you know, you can't use it for yourself now. I think he could only make one, just like how they only were able to make one really operation of data the way he was versus Laura and B4. So I think, you know,
because reasons.
Yeah, because lazy writing. But I think that's the only reason why, you know, you can't get it, you know, or Riker's kid couldn't get it when he was about to die, you know. But now, since the synths are back, wouldn't you be Riker and Troy and be very pissed off at everything now that their synth ban is done and their kid is, you know, passed away?
Maybe that's season two, Riker's Vengeance. And his best friend is a synth. That would actually be interesting.
Yeah, I'd be all for that. And just, you know, Riker not really feeling, you know, the same with Picard, where they're telling each other that they love each other and, you know, with the wink and nods and everything. And this one, there's resentment.
That would be good. So therefore, it has no chance of actually happening.
The
Golem, couldn't we use the magic wrench where I just, you know, wish really hard and it fixes stuff? What the fuck was that?
Again, lazy writing. They had to figure out some way for him to be able to pull off the Picard maneuver.
When they're in space and Picard says, I'm willing to give my life. How did Girardi feel about that? Was she like, yeah, me too?
I think that with the way that character was going and changing towards the end, remember how she was scared and like skittish at the beginning of the series? And then like towards the end of the series, she actually developed like a backbone with like going against the synths and sneaking in on Soong to see what Maddox's stuff was going on and trying to pull the wool over their eyes. And I think she was trying to redeem herself for killing Maddox. So she'd be like, all right, fine. I might as well give up my life too.
Okay. All right. All right, so you brought up before, I want to go back over the series and I want to break some parts out of the series. Let's start with Mars 9/11. Why did we need Mars 9/11? I like your idea of the Romulans have infiltrated and they're trying to kill Soji. We don't need Mars 9/11.
No, I mean, the only thing I can say is if they were doing that, you didn't really need it as a synth. You know, they could have tried to blackmail it, but there was no ban on the synths. But it was basically the Romulans trying to get back at Picard and Starfleet for not being able to save Romulus.
Okay, so that's one thing you could have done. Why do we need the Borg cube and the Borg and Hugh and any of that? Why couldn't we just run into 7 of 9 on the street and go, hey, you want to come with us? We met the Captain Rios guy.
Well, why couldn't she be partners with Captain Rios on the ship?
Yeah, like the whole Borg cube thing adds nothing. Like, I don't get it.
Absolutely nothing. It was just trying to, I guess, maybe making the connection of Picard being an organic that was turned into a cyborg that went back to being an organic, now is full synth. That's the only thing I can see it as a thread. For you, everybody remember, oh, look, he was Locutus. Otherwise, it was unnecessary.
And what happens to the XBs now? Are they just on planet Soong until, I guess, Starfleet comes and gives them a ride?
Or they stay there and they live happily ever after with the synths.
Or do they fix the Borg cube with the magic wrench? You just have to wish hard.
Or there's a synth that is evil and they use the magic wrench to take the Borg ship and become the Borg of old.
I don't want another season of this show. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I just wanted to just say, wow, it wasn't good. And Picard died and everything after that was just some sort of dream in the Matrix or Data, you know, tricked him in the Matrix to thinking he came back to life and everything else after that doesn't count and the end.
Yeah, I'm not, I know they said that the second season's ago. I'm not anticipating it as much as I was originally anticipating this first season where I was like, oh great, I can't wait to see Patrick Stewart as Picard again. Now I'm like, oh God, why do I have CBS access?
Yeah, for anybody who saw Logan, the idea of old man Picard seemed like it would be really good. But how many times are we going to say the writing? It was just bad.
And I'm telling you, it's also a lot of the times with the directors, too. You could tell what kind of an episode you're going to get by the directors. And the director of this last episode, I told you, you know, in emails that anything that he touches is never good.
I didn't realize he's the guy from Batman and Robin. Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. And Winter's Tale. And then they put him in charge of the Paramount Transformers, G.I. Joe, and anything else that's the Hasbro universe.
It's amazing that people with a track record keep getting trusted with properties. I feel like this just destroyed Star Trek. Like, I'm just done. I'm sure I'll slug through Discovery just so I can complain about it for 10 weeks. I'll be happy to be wrong, and it's amazing. But, like, I just feel like Star Trek's over now. Like, over.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to have to give, like, 10, 15 years of not doing it and maybe bring it back, you know, in some way or form. It's kind of like we were talking about Terminator. That franchise is dead.
Yes.
And I think that Star Trek is very close to being dead, too. They need something original, but still feels like it's Star Trek.
Yeah, it's interesting. Terminator's dead. Star Trek's dead. I know the Doctor Who fans are really upset about that franchise. You and I don't agree with the people that are upset about Star Wars, but it just shows, like, all these franchises, like, what are we doing to them?
It's when you go too like fanboyish, and then there's actually two ends. You either go too fanboyish, or the other way is that you want to give them something totally different that feels nothing like the universe or the property. Like with Transformers with Michael Bay, the first couple movies, has nothing to do with what Transformers were in the 80s. The closest thing to Transformers in the 80s was this Bumblebee movie that came out a few years ago. And that actually felt like a Transformers movie. And it's the same thing that's going on with, like, Star Wars. People hated The Last Jedi because it turned everything upside on its head. And then they did The Rise of Skywalker, where they tried to correct it for the fans. And then everybody hated that. So there's no pleasing in it anymore. You beat the properties to death, and then fans start resenting it. And I think this is what's happening with Star Trek a little bit, because of that whole split between the movie universe and the TV universe, that you couldn't be cohesive. So it's just destroying it. And I was a big Star Trek fan, and I I'm not big into Discovery. I don't even think I finished the last season. And this whole Picard thing is like, the only reason I think I finished it is because we have the podcast.
Yeah, as I'm listening to you talk, I'm thinking, if you look at something like Grey's Anatomy or Law & Order or even The Walking Dead, it's the same show. Like, Grey's Anatomy is a show about a hospital. Leads come and go, characters stay for a few seasons, they leave. You probably like the earlier seasons better than the late seasons. But with, like, Star Trek and some of these other franchises, I feel like they keep trying to reinvent it, and it's like, here's what you do. NCC-1701-F, here's a crew, here's a mission, and do that every week. Just do that.
I can't wait for the Orville to come back. That's Star Trek.
But yeah, exactly. The Orville gets it. It's a ship. It's a crew. There's missions. Good. It's fine.
Yep.
Right? They quickly course corrected from... They did, you know, a little too much on the fart jokes in the pilot, but they quickly corrected there, like every series does. You watch, you know, you can even watch, like, The Office, and the pilot's not that great. And then by episode two, it's wonderful. So the Orville quick course correct there. And it feels like Star Trek.
Yeah, because usually a pilot, you know, they do it and they get greenlit, and then they actually go back and they figure out what they need to fix. They fix it because there's usually, you know, 3 months in between the pilot and the next episode being filmed. It just seems like this whole Star Trek, they just like, oh, you know, from it being streaming, you know, I don't know how fast they finished everything, but they weren't putting stuff out where they could have corrected. I think they shot the whole series at one chunk and then started putting it out where they couldn't course correct it once they started seeing what the fan reaction was. And if this was on TV, could you imagine the ratings? I don't think it would have done very well.
Well, yeah, All Access keeps claiming how popular it is, but you never see an actual number, which is very telling.
Popular compared to what? Discovery? Popular, you know, to what on All Access? You know, I could say it's more popular than Interrogation. We'll say Interrogation gets 5 viewers. So Star Trek Picard gets 6. I guess it's more popular.
Well, you know, as a comparison, I'm on the internet all day, every day, and sure, I muted a couple Star Trek websites because they were getting a little spoilery, but I'm not seeing any Picard chatter at all, whereas this Netflix Tiger, whatever thing it's called, I'm seeing articles about that left and right in mainstream media. I don't see anything about Picard unless I go looking for it.
Yeah, that's the same with me, you know? I guess maybe they should try Picard Tiger King next series.
All right. Well, normally we'd head off to Chateau Picard, but I'm actually ready to burn the thing down for the second time. I've got a torch in hand, so you can either just own it or I'm going to throw my torch.
By the time you throw your torch, I just sent photon torpedoes to blow the thing up.
All right. Chateau Picard has been destroyed. Neither of us own it. I don't even want to put a number on this thing. I'm just Star Trek. I shake fists of rage at you. This is just terrible. And the idea that Picard is now in a robot body, just stop, guys. Just stop, stop, stop.
I'm going to paraphrase Kirk right now. Picard!
Yeah. All right. I have nothing else to say about this show, except for the 50 emails I have for you later today. But right now, I have nothing else.
I'm done.
Shark and Goon will return like Picard.